When the Son of Man comes as king, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, but you wouldn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you wouldn't take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As Rod said earlier in the introduction, today will be a much shorter service, and therefore you've got a much shorter sermon. I can hear you rejoicing inside if you're not rejoicing outside. The sheep and the goats. I sometimes wonder why we don't pay more attention to life as we live it. Why do we miss so much? In Matthew 25, both groups, the sheep and the goats alike, say that they didn't realize that the poor of the world represented Jesus. Both missed the connection. Ever noticed that before? The righteous are not commended for seeing Jesus in the poor, the hungry, and the prisoners. They didn't. They just treated all such people with love. But if so, then suppose that those who had failed to serve were to ask the king a counter question. First they ask, "When did we brush you aside, Lord?" And the Lord replies, "You did it every time you brushed them aside." But suppose these people countered by asking, "Well, how were we supposed to know that? If we had known that all along, Lord, we would have acted differently." Couldn't the wicked say something like, "Well, dear Lord, why didn't you tell us? It was you all along. We would have done things differently if we'd known." And what might the Lord's response be? "If we had known it was you, Lord," the goats would say, "why didn't you just say something?" And if they asked that, maybe the reply might be along these lines: "You didn't have to know it was me all along. The righteous didn't either. It should have been enough to realize that this other person was a human being created in the image of God. If you had known no more than that, and you did, that would have been enough. You didn't need to know it was me. Had you simply acknowledged their humanity, their godlikeness, you would have been led to do the right thing." And that's as much our challenge today as anyone else's in this world. Can we see the true humanity, the image of God, in the needy people in our world? Do we take care to remind ourselves of that fundamental basic identity of the poor and the marginalized? Ricky, can I ask you just to help folk out coming in? Thank you. Do we take care to remind ourselves of that fundamental basic identity of the poor and the marginalized? It seems that too often we are content to talk in generalities, in broad strokes that conveniently let human dignity fall away. We lump problems and people together. We talk about the homeless or those on welfare or the third world or the mentally ill or the unemployed. But there's scarcely a human face to be seen in any of those broad categories. Or worse, there is at best the caricature of a face to stand in for the whole group. If you were to go on Google Images, you'll see lots of typical pictures that might fit those categories, but whose name you'll never know, whose story you'll never hear. We size up, we categorize, we characterize, and sometimes dismiss literally millions of people by using a blanket label. We reduce all of the homeless or all of the unemployed to a basic subheading. We assume every person in a category is more or less the same. I wonder whether you do that like I do. Sooner or later, start to forget that the people who are homeless are individuals and real, God's very image among us. I don't know whether you're like me, but I love to people watch. Do you? I go and visit a family and the mother always sits by the window and she knows exactly what the neighbours are up to. Well, at least she thinks she does. She has a backstory behind their actions, even though she probably doesn't know at all. In fact, I probably know more about her neighbours than she does. The times I people watch the most is when I'm waiting for a train or when I'm at the airport. And you watch those people who are busy about their daily lives, those standing in a queue, perhaps smartly dressed, with their head in an iPhone. Mothers with children, rough sleepers sitting in doorways or rummaging through the bin for something to eat. But I wonder whether you've ever said to yourself, Jesus died for him, for her, for that suited one, for that scruffy one, for that stressed out mum, for that cocky looking one. Because each of them, somewhere under all that exterior, is made in the likeness of our Almighty God. Do we dare to reduce them to statistics alone? Why don't we invest in them purely because they're God's children and they deserve to have joy in this life? Jesus is simply asking us to see God, and by extension himself, in the people around us. If we take Matthew 25 seriously and more or less at face value, then we cannot help but be reminded of the famous line of St. Francis of Assisi that Paul always reminds me of: preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. We know that we're saved by grace and not by what we do. And the Jesus who speaks in Matthew 25 knows that too. God's rescue and our faith come with divine grace, which creates a new perspective. Grace opens our eyes to see things that we might otherwise not have seen. Grace begins already now to give us a preview of that which is to come when Jesus returns. Grace lets us know that if one day we ask the question, Lord, when did we see you? Jesus' answer will probably be something like, "When not?" One of my favorite writers, a chap that's now dead, is Henry Newell. He was a Catholic writer, and he wrote a book called The Wounded Healer. And he tells of the legend of Talmud. Rabbi Joshua ben Levi came upon Elijah, the prophet, while he was standing in the entrance of Rabbi Simeon ben Yoah's house. He asked Elijah, "When will the Messiah come?" And Elijah replied, "Go ask him yourself. Where is he?" "Sitting at the gates of the city." "How will I know him?" "He's sitting amongst the poor, covered with sores. The others unbind all their wounds at the same time and then bind them up again. But he unbinds one at a time and binds it up again, saying to himself, 'Perhaps I shall be needed. If so, I must always be ready so as not to delay for a moment.'" A wounded healer is one who has experienced the brokenness of life. But as he or she is healing their own wounds, they're also reaching out to others and helping them to heal their wounds. Healing comes from one broken person to another. We are being healed by Christ, and as he heals our wounds, we reach out and heal the wounds of others. I came across a poem this week, and I finish with that. It goes like this. "Stop the world," said the king. "I'm getting confused. Let's take five. Simmer down and think. I'm trying to decide, and it just isn't clear, on the difference between goats and sheep." "I know," cried a voice. "I think it's to do with people who you meet and the things that you do. If you're kind to the poor and give food from your table and care when you're able, I'm pretty sure you're a sheep." "Hark at him bleating on," came the second voice. "He's full of his own self-importance. I'm afraid it's more complex than that. It's not what you do to the poor that decides. It's the attitude with which you do it. A sheep must be holy and humble, and so if you're anything else, you're a goat." "That's just woolly thinking," the first voice replied. "If anyone's goatish, it's you. It's all very well being holy and such, but that doesn't get anyone fed." Said the goat to the sheep, "I think we've resolved it. The sheep looks like me, and the goat looks like you." "I see it the same," came the answer right back. "A you looks like me and not like you." "Hang on," said the king, "and still no more clear. Are you both sure you're certainly sheep?" "Why, yes," cried two voices, both speaking as one. "We know that we're sheep, and we're sure it must be, for we know that they all must be goats." "So let me be clear," said the king with a sigh. "You each want the other condemned? Well, it's never so clear, and I am never so sure, and there's something that still gets my goat. You've heard of the herd, the tribe and the nation, the people who act just like you? Well, the herd is a fable we're able to tell just to justify me and my own. If you think you're all sheep and the others are goats, you divide up the world very wrong." Then the king turned away and went on his way and restarted the world once again. But after a minute, he paused in his stride and looked over his shoulder to see who was following on. To live as those blessed by God is to know that Christ is King and his law is love. To live as those from whom God loves is to serve the other in that same love. Do we have the courage and commitment to become more and more part of the reign of God. Amen.